City first. Hey. It is so good to be back. Welcome to City First Church. So glad you're here. My name is Ryan Leak, and I don't know where you are in your life or your relationship with God, but I believe that today what we were destined to be together. I believe that God had July 7th, 2024 marked on his calendar for you and for me. You are in a place that is truly special. And I know that because I spent my elementary, middle school, and high school years praying in this very room. In fact, that was my spot. An hour before school, we were encouraged to come and pray. In fact, Pastors Jeremy and Jen, they would pray on this very stage. Sometimes I would just sit up there and I would just watch Jer pray. It's a little creepy thinking about it now, but I learned to pray because I got to see somebody do it. And here's what's cool. 20 years ago, I sat on that balcony and I prayed that the presence of God would meet people in this place and that the divine would happen and that people would walk through the doors and watch on a screen and that they would be healed. So the reason that I think miracles can happen in your life today is because I already prayed for it 20 years ago. And sometimes it takes a minute, but I believe God answers prayers. I believe that miracles can happen here because I've seen them. I've prayed for them. And I just believe that the God that we read about in the scriptures can work miracles in your life today. We are kicking off a series called The Supernatural, looking at the miracles of Jesus. So over the next couple of weeks, we are going to go through the Gospels of Jesus Christ and look at the moment of Jesus's life where natural remedies, responses, and solutions were not sufficient to meet the need. We are going to look at the moment where the supernatural was required. If you are low on faith today, you clicked on the right link. If you showed up today and you're low on faith, you are in the right place. If one of your friends tricks you into coming, that's a good friend, okay? Like they believe that God is up to something in your life. And the reality for you and me is that there are all kinds of miracles that we can pray for. Some of us, we love praying for weather miracles. Sometimes we want it to be a little bit more sunny. Sometimes we want it to rain. Sometimes you're like, oh, it'd be fun to play in the snow. But then it's like a tundra and you're like, not that much. And so you're like praying for weather miracles. Some days we're running late to work and we're praying for a traffic miracle, you know, like, Lord, all greens, please. Some days we're praying for a lost and found miracle. Some of y'all are still looking for your keys. You're like, man, you ain't seen my keys. Like I'm praying for a lost and found miracle. I left my laptop on an airplane last night, okay? So, but the Lord will work a miracle, okay? Now, I believe that. Some days, we might be praying for a work miracle and we pray to the God of the angel armies that a meeting will get canceled because we aren't prepared for it or because there's somebody in that meeting that we don't like and we just don't want to see them. And so we just pray that it gets canceled. The number one type of miracle I often hear people pray for is the fitness miracle. Praying for a six pack and the endurance of a marathon runner without ever stepping foot in a gym. Going, Lord, would you move? Lord's like, you move. You know what I mean? So praying that calories would just go away. But I do wonder who's here today. I wonder who's watching today. I wonder who's listening today that you are truly praying for a miracle in your body. I wonder today who's battling stage 4 cancer or ALS, who's got Alzheimer's disease or multiple sclerosis, might be rebounding from the implications of a stroke or Parkinson's disease or liver failure or lupus or cystic fibrosis, or chronic back pain. There's something going on in your body that doctors have not been able to figure out. Perhaps you're here today and you go, I could use a miracle. I wonder who's with us today that is in a need of a mental health miracle, and your medicine isn't working. and you got what you thought would make you happy, except it has not. Perhaps you are in the building today and you are in the need of a marriage miracle. Perhaps things have gotten so ugly in your marriage that it would take a miracle for things to turn around. I don't know what area of your life needs a touch of the supernatural, but I believe miracles are going to happen in this church today. I want us to begin and turn our attention to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, it says this, verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They had gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Every now and then, I love to study church history, and I love looking at movements in old revivals where there were movements of God, where you would see a lot of people, droves of people, give their life to the Lord, where you would see miracles, signs, and wonders, and floods of people put their faith in Jesus. And when I read Mark chapter 2, there's one that comes to mind regarding the Welsh revival in 1904 in Wales. This was a powerful time for the church in Europe. The revival began in late 1904 in the town of Lucker, spreading rapidly throughout Wales. There were prayer meetings and services that were held in churches. They started being held in homes, even in coal mines. In fact, there is one story where some coal miners left revival and they were still singing the songs from revival underground while working. And their stories are told that people would be overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord in the coal mine and give their heart to Jesus on the spot. There is actually a story of the Wales revival where Pastor Wales shows up to a church and the church was so packed, standing room only, that he had to actually walk on men's shoulders just to get to the front of the room to preach. That's the scene I want you to have in your mind when you see Mark chapter 2. The place is packed. Standing room only. People are outside peeking in their ear, listening in. And then the scripture tells us in verse 3, it says this. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So we've got the place that is packed. And all of a sudden, four dudes show up with a paralyzed man. What we need to know about a paralyzed man in this day and age is that ailments were often viewed and connected to sin or some divine displeasure. In other words, if you saw a paralyzed person, the prevailing thought in that day and age would have been, well, what did you do to deserve your ailment? You must have done something. This must be a result of their sin or their parents' sin. Like, I don't know if you've ever been there. Like, life takes a turn and you're like, last week I yelled at my kid. That's why. You know, like, you start trying to connect the gods to your actions and you're trying to figure that out. But that was a thing then, and that's still a thing today. A paralyzed person also would be considered ritually impure. In other words, if you were a paralyzed person, they would say, this person's a sinner of some kind. They're not allowed to come to church. They're a sinner of some kind. They're not allowed to participate in our worship services. They are an outcast. In other words, the paralyzed man is not even supposed to be at the house, but he's there anyway. Paralyzed people are often dependent on family or charity for survival. And so this often led to a life of begging. So now this paralyzed person is getting lots of labels. This guy's headed nowhere. He's stuck in every possible way. He is stuck physically. He is stuck spiritually. He is stuck emotionally. He is stuck relationally. People look at him with disdain. He'll be an outcast beggar the rest of his life. But the only reason these labels don't apply to this guy is because he's got four friends. Four friends changed everything. It's amazing what you can get through with four friends. Oh, it's amazing what you can overcome We're four friends. It reminds me of this photo of a guy in London. He's getting ready to take his life. Strangers walk by. And they said, not on our watch. My favorite part about this photo is not the guy who is just holding his calves. It's whoever the person is holding the belt. That's intimate. You know what I'm saying? You got to unbuckle the belt and go, I'm not going to let you go. You're like, I don't know you like that, but here we are. Sometimes you need a friend like this. And I don't know exactly what these strangers said to this man on the bridge. I just know what I would have said. And it's the same thing I'm going to say to you today. Don't give up. Hold on to your faith. There's hope for tomorrow. Who knows what can happen? Miracles can happen in your life. I'll never forget one of my best friends didn't hear from his brother for 24 hours. He went to the house, found his brother on the ground, passed away from an asthma attack. His inhaler was about 4 feet away from his body. My friend had to kick down the door, try to give CPR to his brother, but it was too late. He was cooped up in his house and wouldn't get out of bed. I went to his house, stepped over clothes, sat at the edge of his bed, and I said, hey, I'm here. And when you're ready to get up, I'll still be here. We only have one goal today, my friend, and that's to get you something to eat. He said, I'm not hungry. I said, I know, but I'm gonna get you a plate anyways. Panda Express, here we come. He saw a video on the internet one day of a motivational speaker saying, you need a friend now to come get you. And he sent it to me. And he said, I'll never forget when you came and got me. I'll never forget it. You'd be surprised what could happen. When you got four friends, you'd be surprised what can happen when you are one of those friends. Mark chapter 2 continues to tell us this. It says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, scholars believe the home Jesus was in would have been called an insula. An insula in ancient times had roofs that are made with branches, then mud, and then depending on the period of history, that we're talking about more tiles and then more branches and then more mud and then more tiles. In fact, to help illustrate this, I asked artificial intelligence, AI, I said, here is what this house would have looked like. Can you create a picture for City First Church so I can show them and illustrate what this house would have looked like? And this is what it gave me. And I went, that's pretty cool. All right, so now I want you to imagine this place is packed. And the scripture tells us that they were digging through it. Now, I've read this story 1,000 times. And my thought was always that they bust through the roof. Like, one of them must have had a size 13, right? And they just kicking through the roof. You know what I mean? And bam. And after like 3 kicks, it's just some sticks. You know what I mean? And bam. All of a sudden, boom. And it just came through. That was my presumption. That they just kept stomping. But no. They dug. I heard one scholar say they believed this would have taken them hours to dig. I just want you to picture this scene for just a minute. I mean, just imagine. Jesus is on the move doing Jesus type stuff. Comes to Capernaum, says, you know, let me just chill at the house for a little bit. And everybody says, you ain't got no chill time, you Jesus. Place gets packed. He's like, oh man, all right, you know, and it's like, I might as well teach. I'm here. And so the place is packed. Word spreads around town. Hey, you know, Jesus is in town. And I just imagine one of the four friends, you know, they're playing cards and all of a sudden somebody runs by. He's like, hey, where are they going? And it's got Jesus in town. I think he can heal. He says, oh man, well, maybe this guy can help my friend. I've heard miracles can happen with this Jesus guy. And you just know this happened. And every man here knows exactly what happened next. Somebody says, I got an idea. Let's just carry him across town to Jesus. What could go wrong? Okay? And so they're running through the town with their friend, all right? And they get to the house and it's packed, it's sold out. And in my mind, the paralyzed man is a very cynical person. It's an assumption, but why wouldn't he be? His life is full of disappointment. And now he's being dragged around town by his friends to come see a stranger that can allegedly change his life. But now he, once again, is on the outside looking in. You ever been there? Felt like you just didn't know the songs. Felt like you weren't even worthy to be in the room. But your friend thought you could be in the room anyways. And so this is what we know happens. It had to have happened, okay? Then one friend is looking at the packed house and goes, I got another idea. Why don't we climb the roof and see if we can get in that way? Now, let's just call the paralyzed man Perry, okay? Short for paralyzed, okay? We're going to call him Perry from now on, okay? Now, here's the deal with Perry, okay? Perry can't move. Can't move, okay? Perry can't move, but Perry can talk. And so I just want you to imagine Perry outside, outside the insulin. Jesus in there preaching. He outside on a mat looking at his friends like, y'all are crazy. Like, y'all, hey, I think this is a very bad idea. It's sold out. Let's go home. Do not embarrass us, okay? I am not going up on that roof. What if you drop me? The four friends are like, if we drop you, what's the worst that could happen? You get more paralyzed? Like, what are we talking about? Like, how bad can it get, you know? There's no doubt that these five friends are having a discussion outside the insula, and they're like arguing, and Jesus is inside teaching, like, could you calm down? Like, hey, we're working on something right now. So one guy, friend number one, puts out his hands and says, hey, friend two, jump up. Three, jump up. All right, and they invite your friends to do the same. He says, all right, we need two of you on the roof, and then others of us are going to shift up Perry to get you, and then we're going to pull you up. And then they get up there, and they go, who forgot the shovel? You know what I mean? And so now one has to jump down, run back to the house, go get the shovel because they found out we got to dig. And so they're on a roof and they start digging. Mind you, Jesus is downstairs being Jesus. And you know how Jesus talk. Behold! And all of a sudden, do, 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 do. Did y'all hear that? What was it? All of a sudden, they start hearing thumps above, and I know most of you probably have never had to preach a day in your life. Few of you have, but I don't know if you ever had to preach through something. I've had to preach through babies crying. If you got your baby in here right now, God bless your baby. Keep that baby quiet. You just it's like, what are we doing? I love your baby, but your baby need to be quiet. I'm trying to talk to you right now. You know what I'm saying? I've had to preach through cell phones ringing. People are like, I turned it off. I thought I turned it off. And when they phone ring and they can't never find it, they're like, oh my goodness, where's it? Where's it? It's right there. My goodness, answer the phone. Who is it? But I've had to deal with power outages. I'm talking momentary setbacks in a message. Imagine 2 hours. 2 hours. Doof. Hey, man, what's upstairs, man? Y'all, what is something going on? I mean, just. I don't know the details. I wasn't there. But my guess is that one of Jesus' disciples immediately stood up and said, let me go handle whatever's going on outside. Whoever's on the roof needs to stop Jesus' teaching right now. Undoubtedly, for some odd reason, Jesus says, actually, don't. They're with me. Perhaps he had to say, leave them. I wonder if he knew how many were up there. It's like Jesus has everyone on the edge of their seat, and he's brought all of the people into this insula for a specific moment, for a very specific lesson. In my mind, by the time the hole was in the roof, Jesus and the whole house were like, took you long enough. If you are in need of a miracle today, I pray two specific things for you. One, I pray that you would have some faith friends. Yeah, I do. I pray that you would have some faith friends in your life that are willing to carry you to wherever Jesus is, that will lift you up when you have made some mistakes, that are willing to drag you to church, some faith friends that are willing to dig, some faith friends in your life that are willing to climb, some faith friends that will sweat for 2 hours to get you to where you need to be, that won't give up on you. Oh, I pray that for you. Secondly, I pray that you would be that kind of friend. Because the Bible gets real interesting. in the next verse. And this really messes with some people's theology because Mark chapter 2, verse 5 says this. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. The predominant belief surrounding Christianity involves singular individual faith. But just two chapters into the Gospel of Mark, it is clear that group faith is a thing. Now, here's the deal. We call it good news, but I actually think it's better than good. Because what I know about you and what I know about me is that we got some colleagues, some people in our friendship circle, some people in our neighborhood, some people in our family whose faith is on empty. But thank God they got you. And thank God they got me. I got to encourage a mom to keep believing today. Dad, keep praying. Friend, keep inviting. Boss, keep loving. Brother, keep showing up. Sister, keep encouraging. Believer, keep worshiping like the miracle already happened. Because you have no idea what your faith might do for somebody else. There is something powerful about being a faith friend. Couldn't we all use one right now? I know I could. A praying friend. Here's the deal. Even if you're not a Christian, wouldn't it be nice if you had somebody in your corner with a little bit of faith? Who wants to have all friends that think there is no tomorrow? Oh, man, this place is terrible. Well, man, I mean, it'd be nice if you had one friend that says, I think tomorrow's going to be all right. I believe good things are in store. And if you're in need of a miracle and you're not a Christian, I hope you got a Christian in your life that will have faith for you. City First, there's somebody in your life that needs a miracle. And do not underestimate what your faith might be able to do for them. Now, in the midst of this story, you and I cannot miss the actual miracle. Jesus sees the friend's faith and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, let's just say you're Perry. Your friends have embarrassed you, dragged you around town. You can't do nothing about it because you can't move. All you can do is yell. Now you're with Jesus now. Your friends are still on the roof. And you hear these words, son, you're like, oh my gosh, he probably didn't have a dad in his life at this point. You know, he's like, man, this feels good. He's getting reaffirmed. Son, here's the moment, guys. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Your sins are forgiven. Hey, this is not the miracle I was hoping for. I don't know if you noticed, Jesus, but I'm not sure what the forgiveness of sins are going to do for my legs. And I heard that you heal blind eyes and open deaf ears. Didn't nobody tell me about no forgiveness of sins stuff. Like, that ain't part of the reputation. So now I don't really know what to do. I'm lying here. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? But might I submit to us that it's actually the better miracle? And let me tell you why. Hey, Perry, the whole city thinks you did something. The whole city thinks you did some sin to deserve your situation. Did you cheat? I don't know. Did you murder somebody? We don't know. But whether you realize it or not, you got a sin problem that's bigger than your health problem. You got a soul problem that's way bigger than your body problem. Hey, Perry. You know the reason everyone stares at you from a distance with disdain and the reason you're an outcast from the worship service? I can fix that. I can give you the forgiveness of sins. I can make you close to God. Oh, by the way, you're already close to him because I am him. Now, Mark chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, they say this, and this is interesting. It says, now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins? But God alone. You understand that in this day and age, teachers of the law were okay with the teaching of forgiveness. There was much debate as to how someone should go about forgiveness. For that was interpersonal forgiveness. In other words, if you do something to me or I do something to you, there was much debate about how we would go about having a forgiveness conversation for someone that has sinned against us. But Perry has done nothing to Jesus. And Jesus has done nothing to Perry. But Jesus is saying, hey, whatever it is you have done, potentially to someone else, even in this room, I'm letting you off their hook. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on now, Jesus. Wait a minute. Wait. Hey, Jesus, you can't do that. I like you. I understand. But you can't let them off the hook. No. Like, Jesus, you got to understand something. You can't do that. Only God can do that. Only God has that kind of authority. You think you could just come up in somebody else's house and declare someone else forgiven when you're not the person that was impacted by what they did? To which Jesus is going, yeah, but I'm actually going to pay for what he did. You think you were hurt by them. You ain't seen hurt. I don't know, church. Call me crazy, but I think we're looking at a setup inside the insula. Even your largest insulas could fit max 80 to 100 people. You got 80 to 100 people leaned in. Four friends on the roof and another on the ropes, literally. And now you and me paying attention to what's happening here, and perhaps this miracle actually isn't even about the paralyzed man. Perhaps Perry was dropped in so you and I could watch and listen carefully to see that the biggest miracle Jesus came to deliver was not just to heal blind eyes and open deaf ears, but the biggest miracle Jesus came to bring you and me was the forgiveness of sin. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus healed a lot of people. And I don't want to throw a wrench in your theology, but I don't know if you've been paying attention. But every single person that Jesus ever healed eventually died of something. Even Lazarus died a second time and stayed dead of something. My friends, Jesus has lured us all into the insula. Jesus has lured all of us into the house to say, hey, here's the deal. I've got bigger plans for you than you could ever imagine. And I came to die to deal with something that can destroy your soul. And I'm going to take care of that for you. That's why you've been invited into the house. Oh, and this upset the established religious order. And Jesus is that God because he doesn't address their words. He addresses their thoughts. He says this in Mark chapter 2, verse 8. He says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. It's interesting. Perry's looking up at his friends on the roof. Picks up his mat and says, I bet I beat you home now. And now he's walking around town with his mat like, we good. I know how you looked at me before. I know you thought I did something. I did. But I got let off the hook. And Jesus, just to be Jesus, he's like, I'll throw in a bonus miracle. You see, it's not forgiveness of sins or a miracle. It's forgiveness of sins is simply the first miracle. And just to be God, he'll do a second. I haven't been able to come back as much as I would like to because my corporate speaking ministry has taken off over the past couple of years, and just time with family and all of those things have made me be able to do less on weekends, traveling as I'm traveling throughout the week in corporate America. And when I speak in corporate America, I just try to add as much value as I possibly can. I just try to be good. I try to be great. I try to blow their minds to make them all better at their jobs. And I'm often asked afterwards, what makes you you? What makes you tick? And I get to talk about my faith. I was speaking a few months back, and there was a book line. They said, hey, we want you to sign a bunch of books at the end. Everybody get their book signed. Oh, okay, great. Now, being an author, I've done my fair share of book lines. There is book line etiquette. There are book line personality types. Everybody's got, you know, if one person asks for a photo, then everybody pulls out their phone. It's a sociology experiment, so to speak. And so I've learned to recognize different book signing kinds of people. And there's always one person in the book line that ain't got no book. Those are the scariest people on the planet, okay? Because it's like, you want something and I don't know what it is, and it might cost the whole book line 30 minutes and we don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're here for a completely different reason. So I got my eye on book line lady with no book. You know, she's like 12th in line. I'm signing everybody else's book, but I'm looking at her like, what's she up to? Like sums up. She walked up to me and she says, I ain't got no book. But I just felt like I was supposed to tell you. I have no idea why I'm telling you this. But my son has an incurable disease. And I just felt like I was supposed to tell you. And tears began to come down her eyes. She goes, I don't know why I'm telling you this. All I simply said was, I know why. Because, ma'am, I serve a God who specializes in incurable diseases. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up her son. And we pray for miracles. My client's like, oh, but we ain't never had nobody come in and do that. I said, I told you I would come and serve. A lot of people asked for an autograph. She didn't know it, but she was asking for faith today. And I got a lot of it in my heart. Sue me. Last week, I was told about a story of, unfortunately, a grandmother and a grandson were in a drunk driving accident with a truck. The grandmother was killed instantly upon impact. The 2-year-old grandson was taken to the hospital in the ICU. The young boy was doing so bad, they began to start to figure out how they were going to donate his organs. And this young boy is not in a Christian family. He's in a family that's friends with the Christian family. And so, as of a couple of weeks ago, they were getting ready to donate his organs. A week ago, from yesterday, last Saturday, he went home fully healthy. Because a little boy had another family that were just some faith friends. Their faith did something for the little boy. I just believe that today's not just your day. I believe July 7th, 2024, just might be your friend's day. Just might be your brother's day. Just might be your mom's day. Just might be your dad's day, because you decided to step in and say, I'll pray for my family. I'll pray for my friends. I'll pray for my colleagues. And so in these next few moments, I want to give us all an opportunity to receive prayer for miracles. If you would, stand to your feet. If you're here today and you could use a miracle, physical, maybe it's mental. If you got a friend that needs a miracle, I want you to pull out your phone and I want you to call them. I want you to FaceTime them and say, hey, church a little different today. Watch. Because we're about to pray for them. If that's you today, you say, hey, Ryan, I could use a miracle. Or maybe you're standing in faith for somebody else. Would you just slip up your hand and say, hey, Ryan, that's me. Hey, if you see a hand next to you, lay hands on them. Put a hand. And we're all going to begin to pray for every single hand that is raised and people that are online that are going, I need a miracle too. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we call on you today. We call on the God of miracles. We call on the God of the Gospels. And I pray, God, that you would heal blind eyes, that you would open deaf ears, that you would heal cancer, that you would heal scoliosis, that you would meet people right where they're at. I pray for every marriage under the sound of my voice that is on the rocks right now. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do. For people that are needing a miracle in their career, I pray, God, that you would do what only you can do. For people that have been searching for answers for a long time for their mental health, God, I pray that you would do what only you can do. We ask for these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, you believe today that God's gonna do some amazing things in your life and the people that you love. As we go through this series, I believe God's gonna do mighty things in your life. And when he does, would you tell us? DM us, email us. Call the church, show up at the church, interrupt the meeting and say, God has shown up in a mighty way in my life. Lastly, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the biggest miracle of all, and that's the forgiveness of sins. If you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, today's your day. July 7th is your day. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, you say, hey, Ryan, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life for the very first time. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand and say, hey, Ryan, that's me. Ryan, that's me. I see your hand, man. That's awesome. I see that whole row. That's awesome. I see that family. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see, man. That's awesome. Anybody else? I think I see a hand. Three hands up there. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hey, can we all say this prayer together? Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I receive you now. I surrender my past, my present, and my future to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, can we make some noise for every single person that gave their heart to Christ?
What an incredible message from Pastor Ryan Lee today. We are so grateful to have him in the house. And if you just made that decision to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, we just want to be the first to say congratulations. That is one of the best decisions you can ever make. Yes. And so we would love for you to tell somebody, share it with a friend, drop it in the chat below. Let us know that you made that decision. And two, we've got a completely free resource that's just for you. It's called the New Beginning Resource. You can go ahead and scan the QR code on your screen to download that, or also download the app and you can download the New Beginning resource there too. But we want to equip you to take your next steps.
That's right. We also have a program called Growth Track. And here's the cool thing about that is that it starts the first Sunday of every month, yep. Which means that today you can actually hop in person and online. Yep. And the cool thing about doing it online, you get to go at your own pace. Growth Track is an experience for you to understand your God-given gifts, yep. And also understand a little bit of the history about our church and how we came to be City First Church. It's yep. Super awesome. It's a good practical way for you. And you can get more information on that at our website or the app.
That's right. And we would love for you to just share this message with somebody. If it blessed you, you can share the link that you're watching on now, or it'll be available for on demand later. But we are excited. It's such a great time. And we want to be able to not keep that hope of Jesus with us, but to share it to everyone who is around us. And hey, if you need prayer for anything during the week, or actually you can download our app and we have a daily devotional that's on there. We call it the Daily Reflection. And that is just such a great way to go, to wake up in the morning, open up your City First app, read that daily reflection, and get started on the right foot going into your day. It's a time of reflection. We've got scripture. We've got some spiritual truths that you can read about, and even some prayers that you can pray over your day and over your life. It's going to be it's such a great resource. I love it.
Yeah, we're so excited that you guys were with us today. We hope that you enjoyed yourself. And we can't wait to continue this series. Next week, we have Pastor Chris Durso with us. And it's going to be a really, really awesome time. You don't want to miss it. We love you. We hope that you have an incredible week. And we will